Well, good morning, Grace Point. Pastor Taylor here. It's great to be with you on another Sunday morning as we begin this week together in worship. And so I want to welcome you here as we begin to worship our holy and awesome God this morning, as we are gathered together in His name by the power of His Spirit to hear the truth of His Word proclaimed. And if you have your Bibles, I certainly hope that you do. Go ahead and crack those open, turn them on. If you need to scramble and find one, you're going to want to have one in front of you today. You're just going to want to have it in your hands before your eyes, because we're going to reference our text quite often through this message. And so just give the Holy Spirit extra tangible dimensions just to work the message deeper within your soul as you have it before you. And so as we gather, we come to simply do what the psalmist tells us to do, to give thanks to our Lord, to call on His name, and then proclaim His deeds among the people. And so that's what we're going to do today. But before we get into His Word, let's first and foremost prepare our hearts and minds to hear God speak to us today so we can yield and avail ourselves to what He has to give us. And so if you would you pray with me? Heavenly Father, we just thank You, God, for all that You are, all that You have given us, Your holy, Your good provision, but more importantly, God, we thank You for Your holy love that is most clearly demonstrated in Jesus, Your Son, our Savior, and our Lord. And Lord, as we go to Your holy and precious Word this morning, we just ask and pray that by the power of Your Spirit among us, that You would open our hearts and minds to see You as You would have us see You, to form and shape us in a deeper affectionate love for You, to be sent out into the world to do the work and the purposes that You've called us to, God. Bless this Word, bless our understanding, and Father, it's in Your Son's holy name we thank You and we praise You today. Amen. Amen. Well, church, if you have those Bibles ready to go, go ahead and crack those open. Romans 8, we're going to wrap up this series today, meaning we're going to finish this wonderful, wonderful chapter that we've been looking at for the last 3 weeks. And so if you have those Bibles, I hope that you follow along. If you don't have them in your hand quite yet, get them before the end of the message. It'll still be valuable. And so this is St. Paul writing to the persecuted church in Rome. Hear the Word of God today. In the same way, the Spirit also helps us in our weakness, because we do not know what to pray for as we should. But the Spirit Himself intercedes for us with unspoken groanings. And He who searches our hearts knows the mind of the Spirit, because He intercedes for the saints according to the will of God. We know that all things work together for the good of those who love God, who are called according to His purpose. For those He foreknew, He also predestined to be conformed to the image of His Son, so that He would be the firstborn among many brothers and sisters. And those He predestined, He also called. And those He called, He also justified. And those He justified, He also glorified. What then are we to say about these things? If God is for us, who is against us? He did not even spare His own Son, but offered up Him for us all. How will He not also with Him grant us everything? Who can bring an accusation against God's elect? God is the one who justifies. Who is the one who condemns? Christ Jesus is the one who died, but even more has been raised. He is also at the right hand of God and intercedes for us. Who then can separate us from the love of Christ? Can affliction or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword? As it is written, because of you we are being put to death all day long. We are counted as sheep to be slaughtered. No, in all these things we are more than conquerors through Him who loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels nor rulers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ our Lord. Church, this is the Word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God and amen. And wow, what a wonderful way to begin this week. What a wonderful way to enter into worship with God, to read these powerful words, to finish arguably the greatest chapter in the whole Bible, the climax, the clearly outlined portion of Paul's filled-out theology presented to us clearly and plainly. As we all know, Paul writes a lot of things that are hard to understand, but in Romans 8, we get clear truth, truth that was not only relevant and applicant for the church in Rome, but truth that transcends space and time, that is relevant and applicable for us today. And you and I, we get to wrap up this chapter. We get to read the greatest portion of this chapter. This moment in this passage, if I must confess, has been a passage that I've always gone to throughout my Christian journey. It's the number one play that I pull out of my playbook when it comes to spreading the gospel to other people, whether they're believers or unbelievers, when it comes to strengthening and helping brothers and sisters in Christ who have lost their way or faltered, who are just falling off the straight path. I have gone to this passage. If you're a sports fan, you're going to recognize whatever team you follow, you know those teams have a few select plays that they never use. They're exotic. They always use the best players on the team, and they go to it when they're at the end of the game, when the circumstances are dire, when they've got to come back from behind, when they've got to win in overtime. You see your team pull out this play that you've never seen before, that they practice and they utilize just for those dire instances. And if you're Auburn, those plays work every time. But as Christians, we have this beautiful playbook right here when it comes to ministering to the world as the hands and feet of Christ. And for me, I've always gone to these 12 verses that we just read and presented it here. Look at the love of God displayed in Paul's words right here at the end of Romans 8. When I was exploring my call to ministry 4 or 5 years ago, I was working at Best Buy, and as I was trying to figure out what it is that God was about to have me go and do, I was inundating myself with the Word. I was ceasing without prayer. I was teaching in the church, leading intergenerational small groups, but just reflecting on the love of God, reflecting on what I am to do with that love to serve Him in His called purposes. And as I was just immersed in God, in the Word, in prayer, as I'm studying and preparing to teach and spiritually guide other people in the church, that's what I was eating, sleeping, and breathing. And God was forming and doing things within me. I was seeing Him clearly, fully buying in and clinging to that which the church and my parents had raised me in. It was through that year and a half of discernment that my faith unequivocally became my own. In these words that we just read, I truly not just believed, but I took them for what they meant and rested on them. And as I was working in Best Buy at that time, I was taking this word, I was taking what I was doing, I was taking what was consuming me, which was the desire of God, to my fellow coworkers. And as I would meet these coworkers who were not just Christians, but at some point they had been Christians, at some point they had been associated with the church, but at some point they had been hurt by the church. At some point, sins had continued to reign in their life, or they had fallen away from the church. And as I was trying to speak life into them, being the hands and feet of Christ in their life, I would pull out this play from Romans 8 and say, look, don't forget the love of God as demonstrated in Christ. Don't forget what you once knew. Don't forget what you once experienced. Cling and receive this truth. Hold it near to you as you once did, because no matter where you are in this spiritual desert, in this spiritual deadness, it doesn't matter what relationship, what sins, what addiction, what financial problems you have going on, read these words penned by Paul, given to us by the Holy Spirit, that nothing can separate you from the love of God that is in Christ. Hear that and know it, church. And this is my go-to. As I strengthen brothers and sisters in Christ who have fallen away from Christ, because I want them to hear the truth, the very good news of the gospel itself. Because it's a truth that never gets old. It's a truth that we have to hear week in and week out. It's a truth that over time the Spirit constantly seeps deeper within us, where we all reach a point where we not just believe it and hear it and think it's good news, but we trust it and understand it, and it gives us peace. And that's in God's grace, shaping us and forming us. But we have to continue to come back to it and see the relevance. Because it's also this truth in the love of God expressed for the world, expressed for His, in this passage, that is the good news. It shapes how we worship. We come to gather like we are today to celebrate who God is as revealed in Jesus, to praise and thank God for all that He's done through Christ, to praise and thanks God for adopting us and bringing us into relationship with Himself through Christ. And so the sermon title this morning is Good News for Who? As we've just read and heard the good news, and as I've shared how this good news has not only impacted me, but how I've used it in mission out into the world, I want you to think about a question. Whose good news is it for? Now, that may sound like a trick question, but I promise you it's not. And the answer that you're probably wanting to give me is not wrong, but what I'm looking for is something else. Who is this good news for? As this passage lays out two great assurances of God's love, we see that assurance in Romans 8:35. Who can separate us from the love of Christ? Can affliction or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword or a pandemic? We see this other great assurance in Romans 8:39, the very last verse. Nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. So I ask you again, church, who is this good news for? And you're probably thinking, well, Pastor, this good news is for all. As Methodists who affirm a Wesleyan view of salvation and God's grace, we know that Christ is for all who receive Him as Lord and Savior in repentance. And you're absolutely 100% right. That is true. God's grace and love and redemption found in Christ is for all who will receive it and who are called and will come. But for this morning, church, I'm not trying to trick you, but this good news is for those who love God. It's extended to all, but it's effected for those who love God. And Paul tells us as much in the first few verses we read. Hear the words at 28 and 29 once again, church. We know that all things work together for the good of those who love God. There it is, that all things work together for the good of who? Those who love God, who are called according to His purpose. For those He foreknew, He also predestined to be conformed to the image of His Son, so that He would be the firstborn among many brothers and sisters. That it's those who love God, that this good news of the love that's given to us through Christ is meant for us in Christ. And this passage is often one of the go-to for many folks in finding comfort that no matter what's going on in the world, all things are working together for good. But you've got to understand that the context isn't a prosperity context. It's not necessarily about things being better in the here and now, but it's about the future reality of redemption that's assured to those who love God in Christ, that it's in Christ, as Paul tells us in 29, that we are being conformed into His Son's image. And by being conformed to His Son's image, we are being conformed into the likeness of Christ's resurrection state, that it's in Jesus we can be found into that immortality that Christ exhibits as He reigns at the right hand of God. That as we believe and trust on Jesus for our redemption and follow Him as Lord in the world, all things will be worked together for the good of those who are found in Him. Now, granted, there's privileges and there's perks and there's power to live abundantly and at peace in this broken chaos now, but the future redemption of glory will be for us to be found in the resurrection with Jesus, to rule and reign with Him in the new heavens, in the new earth, in the new creation, where there's no death, there's no tears, there's no pandemic, there's no depression or anxiety. And that is good news, church. But that is good news for those who love God through His Holy Son, Jesus. And it's in Christ's faithfulness. It's in Christ's very faithfulness that He keeps us, that He intercedes for us, that He allows us to be found in God, that it's through Christ we are known by God and brought in to God's family. Hear the words from Romans 8:34 and 35. Who is the one who condemns? Christ Jesus is the one who died, but even more has been raised. He is also at the right hand of God and intercedes for us. Who can separate us from the love of Christ? Can affliction or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword or even pandemic separate us from the love of Christ, who cares and bears our own flesh and blood in the heavenly realm before His Father, interceding for us who love God through Him, for us who clings to God through all that He has done in Jesus? It is Jesus who presents our case before His holy heavenly Father, who keeps us. And it's in that love that we find our salvation, we find our assurance, and it's in that love that we're assured that all things will work together for us who love God through His holy Son that He gave to us. This is good news, church. This is the good news of the good news of the gospel. Don't miss it. Hear it. Take it and use it. Allow this to be your go-to play as you extend yourself in God's grace to that brother and sister who have lost their way, who is spiritually dry, spiritually despondent, or to those who don't even know the good Lord. Show them who God is, who God's love is through Jesus, as Paul gives it to us easily and digestibly in this beautiful chapter. And it's those who love God that are known by God and recipients of all this goodness and this love through Christ's faithfulness, for giving Himself to God so we could be found in God, so we could receive the redemption of resurrection in the likeness of Jesus at the end of this age. Hear this word from 1 John 4:15 through 16. Whoever confesses that Jesus is the Son of God, God remains in him and he in God. And we have come to know and to believe the love that God has for us. God is love, and the one who remains in love remains in God, and God remains in him. If you want to know what it means to love God, to be the recipients of all that is affected from this good news, to love God is to confess Christ as the Son of God. And when you do that, in repentance, clinging to Jesus himself, prostrating your heart, soul, and mind to Him as Lord as well as Savior, you are found in God, and God is found in you through Christ Himself. And you understand deeply and more fuller how much God loves you and how much God is going to keep you and use you. I want to leave you with one final thought this morning. In 1973, many of you may remember or are very familiar with this term, the Stockholm Syndrome, right? In 1973, a guy by the name of Jan Erik Olsen robbed a bank. He took four hostages for 6 days, and as the police and as the government tried to negotiate with the hostages, they discovered something crazy happened, that the hostages felt safer with their hostage taker than they did the police or government. In fact, when the government staged a daring rescue, the hostages resisted the rescuers. In fact, after the fact, the hostages refused to testify against the guy who had held them for 6 days at gunpoint, and they even tried to raise money to help him pay his court fees and his costs and his fines. And it's crazy that someone would be kept for 6 days at gunpoint and then come to trust and have affection for that hostage taker, for their captor, and begin to sympathize with him and begin to realize, you know, what is the government, what is the police really doing? Is my safety not in their best interest? Kristen Enmark sums up really what happened in 73, where we get this term, the Stockholm Syndrome. Now, she says, it's some kind of context where you get in, that you get into when all your values and the morals you have change in some way. Essentially, the Stockholm Syndrome is when people get so psychologically turned around, they can no longer tell the difference between the good guys or the bad guys. And I leave you with this final thought today, church, because many of us, many of you, are suffering with this spiritual Stockholm Syndrome. Many of you are distrusting God and leading into the world, even though you know the world, the sins, the people, the chaos, the pandemics, the groans of creation are holding you captive. And you see all the brokenness and all the fallenness going on. And you're thinking, where is God? What is He doing? How come He's not here stopping this or in the thick of this? Is His welfare not for me? And so even though you know the world is wrong, you lean into the world to seek answers because of your distrust or frustration with God because of the situation you find yourself in. Well, I'm here to tell you, church, reread these words. Reread this chapter. Look at the love that God has for us in Jesus, that it is a redemptive love, that it is a love that will work together all this, fallenness and brokenness, for good for those who love Him. That Romans 8 has been a blueprint of God working in the world to correct and redeem the world that is fallen, which you and I find ourselves in, that hold us captive, that it's in the grace of God through Christ that He has released us and redeemed us. And one day we will be with Him in His glory as all things have been worked together for our good for those who love Him. He is not the cause of the fallenness and brokenness, but He will use it and work it for the redemption for all those who love Him in Jesus. So don't lean into the world, church. Don't start sympathizing with the world because you feel like God is distant and absent. Cling to the words that were just read and proclaimed to you and receive the truth of God's word and love in Christ and recognize that He is for you and recognize that what He has for you is what He has given to Christ Himself. And when you cling to it and when you trust it, He'll make it known to you, where you not just believe it and hear it, but you rest on it. Would you pray with me, church? Heavenly Father, we just thank You, God, for the love that You have given us through Your Holy Son, God. We thank You for welcoming us in His name by our faith to receive what You've given Him. And God, in this time, in this place, there's fear and worry and anxiety and pandemics and civil unrest, Lord, we just ask that You meet us with Your Spirit, that Your grace intersects us daily to be formed and conformed to Jesus, to trust and rest on You despite what we're living in this craziness. And God, we just thank You for Your truth and the promises that You've revealed to us today. God, my hope and my prayer is that by Your Holy Spirit that You seat them deeper within the hearts of all who have come today to receive You. And Lord, it is through Jesus, it's through Your love. We thank You and praise You for all that You've given us and all that You continue to give us. And we rest on the hope that awaits us. In Christ's name, amen, Father. Amen. Well, church, before I send you out with a blessing to go into the week, I have some very important announcements for you. First and foremost, our target date to resume in-person worship is September 6th. That's when we're shooting to be able to come together again with precautions and things of that nature, similar to where we were in June. But I want to remind you, though, that if you follow what's going on with this pandemic, if you recognize that we're in the heart of Jefferson County, that cases are increasing, deaths are increasing, hospitals or at their max. Government leaders and officials are seriously entertaining bringing in another lockdown that we experienced in April to try to curb and prevent the spread of this pandemic that is becoming realer day by day. Just in the last month or so, we've already had 5 COVID-19 related deaths within our central and south central districts, which is really close to home. I've heard many of you begin to see and recognize that people you know and love and are friends with are becoming more and more impacted and affected by the virus. And churches are opening and closing and having to close like we are. So we're going to shoot for September 6th. But in light of the current COVID-19 climate, we need to begin to prepare ourselves with the reality and the recognition that we may have to keep doing online worship for a long time throughout the rest of this year, even into next year. And now I know those aren't fun words to think about. I know our desire is to be together, but we have to be smart. We have technology. We have the indwelling Spirit of God within us. And so with that being said, this Thursday, July 30th at 6:30, through an online Zoom meeting, we're going to have a church-wide admin council meeting where we're going to begin the discussions about what does this look like if we can't come back on September 6th and have to stay closed for the rest of the year or into next year. We're going to begin to have those real discussions about what does that mean from a missions perspective, from a finance perspective? What does that mean from a pastoral care perspective? What does that mean about us improving how we worship together like we're doing now? We're going to start all of those conversations, and instead of kicking the can down the road and hoping this stuff gets better next week, we're just going to address the 1,000-pound elephant in the room and begin preparing our hearts and minds to be a worshiping community that worships at a distance. But don't lose hope. I am planning, and we'll give you more information soon, on holding multiple intimate worship gatherings of 10 or more or 10 or less people, 3 or 4 nights a week, where we can come together for prayer, a brief devotion, and then receive the Eucharist together. And so I'm planning that. You're going to get more information about when those dates will be, how that will be, and how we'll sign up over the next couple of weeks. And so we will hopefully do those until we can get everybody cycled through who wants to gather intimately in worship. And so that is coming, and I'll give you more information there. I also want to remind you that right now, if you are having a hard time not being with people, if you're finding yourself not being discipled and you're just sinking into a spiritual dryness or wilderness, I want you to know that Bob Brewis, since this thing kicked off going back to June, has been holding a online Wednesday night Bible study at 6:30 through Zoom. You don't have to have Zoom. You just need a computer. If you're interested in being a part of that Bible study, they're walking through the books of Acts, but specifically how the early church prayed in the books of Acts. And so that group continues to grow. It continues to bear fruit. So if you're interested in being discipled and being a part of studying Scripture and praying with your church family, get in touch with Bob Brewis, get in touch with me, and we'll get you plugged into this Wednesday night Bible group. If you're a young family, your group's coming in the next couple of months, and Beth Reeves is going to be sending out information on that sometime during the middle of August. And so finally, we thank you and we praise you for your faithfulness. And I want to just let you know that you can continue to give your tithes and offerings online at gracepoint@mountolive.com through our giving portal. I think you're going to see a link in the comments below. You can continue to mail it in if that's what you're comfortable with. But we just ask and hope that as God continues to bless you during these times, that you continue to bless the church with financial stability so we can continue to serve you and serve the community as God calls us to. And we thank you for all that you've given us. And so hear this final word, church. Again, the very last verse from this wonderful passage that we've just been full of this last month. Nothing can separate us from the love of God in Jesus Christ our Lord. Believe and accept that for the wellness of your souls and assured, blessed salvation. That is the good news of the good news of the gospel, church. Be at peace and overjoyed in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. And blessings for this week.